Welcome to another episode of See You Lead, sponsored by NetGiver, the app and platform that enables donors and nonprofits to give and receive on a no-fee basis. On this podcast, we feature credit union industry executives and the impacts they make on communities everywhere.
I'm Glenn Frechette, and today I am joined by Karen Vietz. Karen is the president and CEO of Metropolitan Employees Credit Union. Karen, you pushed me yesterday. You said, I'm not going to talk to you on the first day of this event. And boy, we are down the home stretch. We are almost there.
It's almost there. We're almost there. It's always a long event weekend, but it's a week. It feels like a weekend, but always a long event, but it's a great event to meet in with peers and vendors and partners and just get that spark going again before we have to go back to the grind of putting our heads down and figuring out where we're going.
Well, that's actually a nice break then. It's good to be able to absorb from other leaders what's on their minds. And I would say that this is a less of a time commitment than is GAC. And before we began recording, we were talking about GAC. That can be long nights and early morning.
Yeah, this one can be too, because we come in a little earlier when for boards. So some of the boards come in earlier with CCUA and Connecticut League and have a day before. So it can be, it's still a long week regardless. Yeah. It's a long day, a lot of walking on your feet. Comfortable shoes are number one.
Yeah, that's true. And the fact is we are sitting here during this recording at the Mohegan Sun Resort and Casino.
Yeah.
And while it would be amazing to be outside enjoying the fall weather that is Connecticut, we're stuck in a windowless casino.
Right. And you're right. It is windowless. And it's probably the one time that the sun is out and it's not raining here in Connecticut. This season's been pretty rainy, so we don't want to know that the sun's out, but the sun's in here with everybody else. So
that's we'll
sunshine.
30 minutes or so in between our end time and getting
I
to the evening.
So.
No.
I think I have pretty much scheduled all the way until who knows when this evening. So
okay. Yeah, I have that same reception that you're likely going to attend.
Yeah.
So what I would like for our listeners to hear, you and I are just starting to get to know each other a little bit. For those individuals coast to coast that do not know you, I'd love for you to share your journey. Just tell us a little bit about your credit union influence.
Okay, I started actually in the savings and loan years ago. Savings and loan collapsed in the 90s and I went out of banking, said I'd never do banking again. I went a little bit of retail and then I had a friend say to me, I'm leaving my job as an assistant manager at this credit union. And you're perfect for the position, you should apply. And I said, but I don't want to get back into banking. She said, it's not a bank. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And then she said to me, she says, you're perfect for that. I know you're perfect for the job. So I applied, didn't want to travel to Hartford because I was a country person. I don't want to go to Hartford.
Ah.
But I applied. By the time I got home, my answering machine had me calling back. I got the job. I was making enough money, which at that time was not a lot of money today, but I was making enough money to cover the four jobs that I had. So I only had to work one job. So people helping people, credit unions helped me come from working four jobs to one job. And then it was all easy from there. It was just a matter of getting to know I'm in a single seg for the Metropolitan District Water Company. We were a single seg for them. So we're a small credit union, but pretty powerful. We have about every little thing that the larger credit unions do. We do, obviously, on a smaller basis. But I started in 96, and then in 98, I was promoted to the CEO. So then I've been CEO, just hitting my 28th year this week with the credit union. So
28 years with the credit union, 25 as CEO. Does that sound
right? Yeah.
98, you were promoted to CEO.
Yeah.
I think the coolest nugget you just shared throughout that entire story, for our younger listeners, they're confused by the use of the word answering machine.
Right. Oh, yeah, that would be true. There were no cell phones back then. And then was, I think, my first object on my hip was a beeper.
Awesome.
So, you know, and it gave you a little message on there, not much of a message, but...
The answer machine. I kind of miss the blinking red light. There's something cool about it.
Yeah, there means somebody cares and they're calling you,
somebody
right?
cares. Now you just get...
what's on the answer machine or anything anymore.
Now we just get buzzed with texts all
yeah.
day long.
Yeah, so I with the credit union, and I've been on Hartford chapter, and then I have done a lot of different things. I do things in my community too, so I'm on a community fund. I'm from the town of Granby, and I'm on their community fund, and I work on doing grants for nonprofits in town. So we work on the grant program. We fundraise money into grant programs. So that's kind of a personal thing that I do, but at work we're single seg, so we're not community, so sometimes we don't get out into the community like we do. We do for our community, which is the employees of the MDC and their families. So.
Is there any particular nonprofit in your backyard that you do support, despite what you just said about not being community
the center? MDC itself has a, they call it a Max Stevens Fund. It's a fund for employees that get into trouble for, you know, can't pay an electric bill, or they come short on rent, or someone in a family sick, that kind of thing. So we do donate to that. Mm-hmm. And obviously we hold that account for them at the credit union. We do have a couple members that have nonprofits. So there's a lack of it, I don't really think as much as a homeless shelter as a rehab type of facility that one of our members have. So we try to collect, you know, that was personal toothbrush and, you know, socks and those kind of things. And there's a Hartford police officer that does take donations that we do. So they're not really, they're in a whole different group than us, but we do tend to get a list from him and try to fulfill some of that stuff.
I love it. So a couple of things come to mind as you've just made some comments around patronizing your own members that have nonprofits.
Right.
I think that's really cool. But clarifying question on that, is this more of a side hustle, if you will?
For him, yeah. No, it's not really a side. It's a volunteer. It's all volunteer.
All volunteer, okay. Mm-hmm. And you support him through a banking relationship through the credit union.
His that particular nonprofit's not, but we have done collections, food bank collections and other collections for them to take back to the shelter.
The reason I'm spending a minute here is because it's been a focus of ours at NetGiver, where we want to try to encourage the nonprofits with whom we have relationships already to move their banking into community credit unions.
Right.
That, you know, that's part of our objective list.
Yeah, yeah, our the fund for the Max Stevens is with the credit union. That fund is with us. But that's kind of a MDC thing. So their employees put money in that, and then we usually do a donation once a year.
Okay.
It's not large dollar amounts, but we're a small credit union, so yeah. We do. But we usually give some kind of donation to them. And then we do a golf tournament to raise money for scholarships. We did for Max B. Stevens before, but we also do raise it for scholarships for our own members. And we have a fund that we raise for, and then we give scholarships out to our members. They have to be a member. So it's most of them that's bringing in that younger generation. And that's kind of the way we've been able to kind of bring that relationship in. So, and that nonprofit is basically us, and we have our own.
That's outstanding. So a couple of CEOs sitting in that chair over the last 2 days have talked about banding together for the benefit of community giving. And most of the CEOs that I've been interviewing, as you can imagine, are small credit unions based here in Connecticut, where we're sitting today. Many CCUA credit unions from Massachusetts or Rhode Island or even New Hampshire and Maine have traveled down to participate in this event over the last couple of days. And I've been astonished as to how many have said, you know, we partner up with XYZ credit union in Springfield or other locales. Mm-hmm. Is that something that
you participate in? It is something that we could be interested at our credit union. I know... The police credit union with Wendy Tariff is from the police credit union. she had a thing going with the Hartford police. That's that Hartford police officer. And Lori Herrick from Manchester does different things with people. And we've band together as a Hartford chapter.
Cool.
To get out into the community. And whether it's Mark in Manchester or the Hartford Police Department or a food bank in Hartford, that Hartford chapter has band together with. We meet, we have a dinner, we usually have a great speaker, and then we have a raffle, and that money goes in and gets pulled in, and then once a year we give donations out to different groups within. We all kind of band together where we want to send that money. So that is a group effort thing,
Yeah. But
it could be on a higher basis someday. Who knows? It would be nice to do it on a higher basis, and we could all talk about that.
Actually had the opportunity, again, over the last 24 hours to speak with both Lori and Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're all from similar-sized credit unions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. You know, there's a lot of consolidation happening around us in this industry. That'd be one more way to band together.
Right.
And cooperating with each other.
Which it was nice. You know, it's just little things in the leadership of running a credit union where you need a new policy or you need a new this or that. And, you know, bump ideas off of you. I've had others that ask them about something and, oh, but I need to do this for the regulator. And everybody kind of bands together. And it's not just the small ones. The larger credit unions are pretty good. We're trying to get them maybe a little bit more. The IT is a big thing. Cybersecurity is a big thing. And they're expensive for us little credit unions.
They really are.
They're really expensive things. And we feel there's a relevant reason why small credit unions are still around. And it would be awful to see them all taken up by the larger credit unions. Because we do have there's a different every day. I might go into work one day and I'm short MSR on the teller line, and I'm opening a cash box, and I'm running that cash box. It's got to do what you got to do to keep your business running.
Of course. And let's face it, in smaller communities, smaller geographies, larger financial institutions aren't concerned with or interested in serving the population that live in these communities. So for small credit unions to go by the wayside is asking for a bigger challenge on our hands.
Correct.
So I'm glad to hear you're a proponent of the solvency of smaller ones.
Yeah, no, I don't like every time I hear one getting taken over again.
Yeah.
One of us small ones should get more active in taking over some of the smaller credit unions versus letting the bigger ones get bigger.
Well, I think this also translates or transcends into why employees want to come to work for you as well. Not just members who want to join you to do their banking, but I'm guessing culturally, because of your philanthropic efforts and because of your desire to give back, you're able to attract top talent and keep top talent.
It's sometimes hard because obviously wages are a big deal these days, and I only have but 4 full-time and 2 part-time people, and one of my part-time people only works 11 hours. He's of special needs, and we worked with FAVAR, which is a nonprofit for people with disabilities, and so he does backroom stuff. And
great.
We just like to try to bring in somebody. I mean, he doesn't get a chance, but push a cart at Stop and Shop or something. Why can't he be stimulated to learn something a little more? So I've had probably for the past 15 years had at least one person with disabilities that has been on my team. So that it's just another way of kind of giving back and getting that person to understand. He has autism, and he will now look you in the eye and talk to you, where he wouldn't do that when he first started.
Paying an associate to do a hard day's work is just as valuable as writing a check to a nonprofit organization.
Correct.
And if this is a way that you can accomplish that, that's admirable. Shifting gear for just one second, and then we'll come back to nonprofits in a moment. I am witnessing an accelerated shift towards caring a lot about social responsibility, issues that pertain to what employees expect when they come to work with their employer, and what our members expect as we serve them in a banking relationship. You've been in credit unions a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You dated yourself, Karen. Sorry, I asked for the history. I was only looking for 5 years. You went back 25. Are you seeing more importance placed on this subject of social responsibility over the last several years?
I guess I find that it's harder to keep that younger generation engaged. They seem to want to go off to something different, try something different, move and travel and do things differently, that it's hard for me. I was just in a session for EVP. It was valuation, employee valuation propositions, and learning a lot from that and learning what is it that you can, how you can try to maintain that social and expectations that people have. And you kind of have to more do it more individual than what we've been used to in the past. Because I always say, it can't always be because we always did it that way. There's always a change, and change is sometimes not good, but a lot of times change is good. Sure. And so I think you can teach the new dog a new trick, basically. I can be taught new things. I'm learning new things, and I always love learning new things, but some people don't. Yeah. So they were basically saying you got to kind of like look at each individual and find out where that individual is. So he kind of had a great book, Love Is, I don't remember the name of it, but the thing came up today. Took a shot of it. I'm going to order it for Amazon for my strategic planning on Saturday and have from my board down to my MSR, I'll read that.
I'll read
because I just think that maybe I can find where everybody's happy spot is, and that's where we should be. But, I mean, we're not ones that can... They can't be remote, you know, and they were talking about that. Oh, well, bring them back. They don't want to come. People don't want to go back to work. They want to stay remote.
Yeah.
And they're like, bring them back and tell them they got to work 3 days. They get 2 days remote. And if they don't want that, then maybe it's not the right organization. So I think that you're going to see some gears changing a little bit where it's going to come back to employers will be a little bit more in control with things. As
okay.
The economy changes, maybe.
Got it.
We've seen that, right? We've seen where it's an employer's market or an employee's market. Right now, it's very much the employee has the upper hand.
And that has been true for at least the last 3.5 years.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's hard, and it's hard for somebody with a small staff, especially that first, the MSR, that teller. We call them member service reps because my member service reps are tellers, but they do much more than teller work. So they're doing other things besides. So because everybody wears a lot of hats in a small credit union. So we build them up, and then the bigger credit unions come in and scoop them, and then they have somebody fully trained for any department within a larger credit union.
Okay, so that's
which is not a bad thing, because then they can grow, and they should be able to grow. And then they might come back and be a succession plan for one of the smaller credit unions, because now they're prepared to go into one of the top spots, you know, and be a CEO.
I like it. I like it because...
I have to find a successor.
Okay. But the boomerang coming back makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, we had 3 emerging leaders in Connecticut that got awards today, emerging leaders. And I look at all 3 of them and I'm like, all 3 of them probably are pretty ready to almost be able to run a small credit user.
Sure,
and there's plenty of us that are going to be retiring within the next few years. So it's great to see those people who have that passion at a young age, have that passion for a nonprofit, for a people helping people and all of that. So I think that they see a different social responsibility than we probably grew up with.
Yeah.
But we see it now. In credit unions, there's a thing about DE, development educator. I'm not sure if you know much about those.
CUDE,
yeah.
Credit union development educator.
Yeah. And so I did that, and I sent my second in charge of that, and I'll be sending the next one and whoever else we can get to do that. It's just, it brings you to the roots of credit unions, and it gives people that burning passion to help people and do things and move forward.
Karen, I think the number, if you're going to be shocked by what I'm about to say, then I'm wrong. If you're going to take it in stride, then I'm right. I think the number that I heard very recently, 58% of our current credit union CEOs in the system will be retiring in the next 5 years. 58%.
I would say that's probably pretty close.
Okay.
So it definitely... for us to be sustainable, you really need these emerging leaders who have these passions to be able to, you know, move forward and run credit unions. And they will run differently. Yeah. But I don't think that's, I think as long as you get the right person, it will still be, you know, it will still be that passion and love that we have for credit unions. It's just going to be a little, it's going to show a little differently.
Fair enough. I'd like to end here with a question that maybe hits on a personal organization for you. Mm-hmm. I always like to give my guests the opportunity to plug something that our listeners can go and research. You know, not to say that you lead two lives. I get that you're one person leading one life. But you've been speaking on behalf of the credit union mostly during our discussion today. Is there a personal nonprofit that's meaningful to your family that you'd like to offer up?
That would be the Granby Community Fund. They pretty much give grants out to other nonprofits that serve the community in Granby, whether it's Holcomb Farm, which does a lot with CSA, and their co-op also. There's Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, and all the different small things within that community. Okay. The Red Cross is in there. I mean, there's a lot of companies that we, or nonprofits that we actually do grants for. Mm-hmm. Mark Hest of Granby, they're a fife and drum group. Oh. So there's a bunch of them, and they all fall under that Granby Community Fund.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we squeezed each other in.
Yeah, I am too.
I mean, you have a busy schedule while you're here.
Oh, it's busy, but it's a fun busy. It's okay. It's great to see people that we just talk to on the phone, and then you can kind of get together and see them. And then colleagues that I don't see on a regular basis, but it's just nice to get together and meet new ones.
Yeah.
There's always new people to meet.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure spending time.
Yeah, you too.
All right.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of See You Lead, brought to you by NetGiver, the no-fee donation platform for donors and nonprofits. We hope you stay engaged, stay inspired, and continue leading with purpose. Until next time.